WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 19th of May, 2021. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. I'm going to start things off today with a Western, though it's a juvenile Western that was resuscitated from the 1930s. It's titled Bobby Benson and the B-Bar B Riders. I think in the 30s it was the B-Bar O, sponsored by somebody in South Texas, but I just kind of cursory looked at that. This episode is titled The Ghost Rider, with an original air date of the 28th of July, 1950. The stars should be a household name. That's kind of pivotal in this day and age. We'll let you decide. I'll give you a hint. It's Windy Wales. Listen to his voice. See if you can determine who it is. He has since passed along, but at one point he was a household name. Thanks for listening.
Here they come. They're right past. It's time for excitement and adventure in the modern West with Bobby Benson and the B-Bar-B Riders. And out in front, trying to hold a Palomino amigo, the cowboy kid himself, Bobby Benson. Very unusual adventure, The Ghost Rider. And here to tell you about today's adventure is that voluble purveyor of extravagant anecdotes, that travesty of truthfulness, the one and only, Windy Wales.
Well, thank you, Mr. Announcer. Folks, the reason I have to tell you about today's adventure is that, well, I'm the only one that knows the whole story. Not even little Boss or Tex or any of the other fellers know about it. But I just got to tell somebody. Well, Riders, it all started out one day about a week ago when a feller by the name of J. Parsifal Butterball landed down in the Big Bend. And that's where my trouble began. You see, this Butterball is the editor on one of them big Eastern papers, so right away when he got here, all the local reporters went to see him to get his opinion of it.
That's right, gentlemen. You ask my opinion, and I'm giving it to you. I say the modern West is nothing but a fraud. Oh, perhaps the old days of the West had something, but in my opinion, the men of the modern West are nothing but a bunch of bow-legged buffoons. Yes, gentlemen, I say the modern West is nothing but a fraud, and you may quote me.
Now, can you imagine that, Riders? A feller saying a thing like that about the West when there's all us red-blooded, two-gun feuding, fighting he-men out here? Well, naturally, as soon as I read what he'd said in the local paper, it just got my dander up something fierce. So I just took me a while to think out a good plan, and then right off I went in to see the foreman of the B-Bar-B, Tex Mason. Yes, sir, and Ryder, within just a few minutes.
Hey, Windy, what happened to you?
Tex broke me out.
Well, you can't blame him, Windy, with this idea of yours. For us to pretend to be outlaws and attack him so that you can then make like a hero and rescue him.
Well, Irish, I think it's a good scheme.
Well, I say it's plain downright foolishness.
And what did Tex say, Windy?
He said it was plain downright foolishness. But, fellas...
Windy, you might just as well forget it. You've talked us into a lot of crazy schemes in the past. But this is one time it just isn't going to work.
Well, all right, then. I'll go into town and find somebody that will help me. But doggone it, before I'm done, I'll teach that varmint that us men of the West ain't to be fooled with. Well, about a half hour later, I was in town looking over the fellers lounging in front of the general store, and trying to decide who I'd ask to help me, but then I seen them. Yes, sirree, I seen these two fellers off to one side, and before I even approached them, I knowed they was real sons of the West.
Oh, me, what I'd give to be back in Flatbush.
Ah, shut up, Brooklyn. All you do is gripe.
I got reason to gripe. I was a happy, peaceful pickpocket back home till you showed up with your big talk about the money to be made in the West.
Where is though? But I ain't figured out a good angle yet.
Angle, schmangle. What do you expect, Ducky? You think some dumb jerk is going to walk up this and offer a plan for a robbery or...
Howdy, fellas.
Speak of the devil.
Huh? Never mind my partner. Tell me, what can I do for you, sucker?
Sucker? Hey, you must have mistook me for somebody else. My name's Wales. Walter Wellington Wales, third executive acting foreman for the B-Bar B.
Would you toss that my way again?
Toss what?
Never mind. Look, short, light, and gruesome, what is it you want?
Well, Fetters, I want your help.
In what?
In a crusade to uphold the fair name of the West. You see, I could tell just by looking at you, Fetters, that you're real sons of the West.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
Yeah, Brooklyn, Texas. It's just a little north of San Antonio.
Oh, well, fellas, you're going to find this hard to believe, but there's a varmint in our midst who's had the nerve to slander the fair name of the West.
You don't say.
Yeah, I just did. And I say it's up to us to teach him a lesson.
How?
Well, I got it all figured out. You see, if you two will make out like you're a couple of low-down crooks...
Hey, now, wait...
Oh, I know you don't look like crooks, but then he'll never know the difference, baby.
You really think we can pass as crooks?
Sure! You just leave it to me. I'll teach you how to act tough. But anyhow, what I want is for you two to pretend to be a couple of crooks and that are after him, see? And then I'll make like a hero and rescue him.
You a hero?
Why, sure! I'm a natural for the part, don't you think? Or don't you?
Becky, do you think this guy's for real?
I don't know, Brooklyn. I just don't know.
What was that?
Look, cowboy.
My friends call me Wendy. I never could figure out why.
Well, Wendy, if we was crooks, which we're not, of course, why should we go after this fella?
Well, heck, this fella, his name's Butterball, by the way. He's a rich man. Got more money than the flea has dogs.
Well, that's really loaded, huh?
Well, I hear that even the rings in his bathtub are set with diamonds. Yes, sir, he fellers. And I bet he could just sit down and write out a check for $1 million without even giving them a thought.
Now, that's the sort of pigeon we've been looking for.
It's up to us to demonstrate to this feller that there's plenty of real bad men and heroes in the West.
Well, what do you think, Brooklyn?
It's worth a try. And if the guy is as rich as this character says he is...
Yeah. Okay, Wendy, we'll do it.
You mean it? You'll pretend to be crooks?
Sure. We'll pretend.
And you'll let me be the hero that saves him and stops you?
Sure, Wendy. We'll let you stop us. We'll let you stop us as sure as we're from Texas.
Hey, now, it looks as though Wendy is really getting himself into a predicament this time. Hiring two crooks and practically handing them a chance for a crime. But then we've seen Wendy blunder his way through before, so there might be hope yet. Anyway, you'll want to be sure to keep listening when we continue this very unusual adventure in just a moment. Now let's get back to today's adventure, The Ghost Rider.
Like I told you, this here rich feller, J. Percival Butterball, come out to the Big Ben and right away started making incinerating remarks about the West. Now, being as how I'm a man of action, I got burned up by this and decided that even if none of the fellers on the ranch had helped me, I was going to teach that varmint a lesson. But being a man of superior intelligence as well, I decided not to let on to the other riders that I was up to something. No, sir. I was careful not to let them suspect the thing.
For heaven's sake, Wendy, will you stop cackling like you're going to lay an egg? What are you up to, anyhow?
Who, me? Why, not a thing, fellas, not a thing.
You'll be up to something, all right, Windman. Otherwise, why you sit there all day with smiling like cat with smaller little mouses, huh?
Hello now, fellas, I tell you, it's all your imagination. Besides, it's none of your business.
The heck it ain't. When you start off on one of these harebrained schemes of yours, it's everybody's business. Boy, oh boy, when Tex gets after you.
Now, doggone it, Harris. Don't you go tattletaling this to Tex, or I'll...
Or what? You're what?
Doggone, why do folks always ask me that? Confuses me.
Well, it happens that Tex already knows. That's why he sent for Bobby a little while ago.
Yeah, but that ain't fair.
Windy, you know that these schemes of yours always backfire, and we have to pull you out of trouble.
You pull me out of trouble? Why, sure. Fiddle and all such remarks.
Well, it's the truth. And we're getting done sick and tired of your lame brain.
Now, you listen here, Irish. So help me out.
No, doggone it. This is the one time I ain't gonna let you upset my dignity.
Your what?
My dignity. Besides, I got more important things to do than stand here jawing with you.
Things like what?
Like an important meeting in town, if you must know. So just get out of my way now.
Hey, Windy! Windy, wait up a minute.
More better you wait, Windman. Here come Buddy Boy.
Oh, me, I just knowed something would happen at the last minute.
Hey, Windy! Windy, I got a message for you, a message from Tex.
Little boss, I ain't gonna do it.
Huh? Well, does he do what, Windy?
Whatever job Tex has cooked up to keep me on the ranch tonight.
But he hasn't a job for you.
Eh?
No, he just said for me to give you a warning.
Oh, well. A warning?
Yeah, that's right. He said to tell you that he knows that you're mixed up in some sort of scheme. And that you'd better forget it.
Oh, yeah? Well, you just tell him that
Windy,
he can...
Windy, this is Tex we're talking about.
Yeah, well...
Oh. Well, doggone it. I ain't stopping even if it is. I ain't giving up my plans for nothing.
Well, and you'll need the rest of his message. He said to tell you that if you go through with your plans anyhow, you're on your own.
Huh?
That's what he said, Windy. If you get into any trouble this time, we're not getting you out of it.
Well, okay, then. That suits me.
Oh, and one more thing. He said that whatever happens, you're not going to make the B-Bar-B any bad publicity.
And is that all, little boss?
Yep, that's all.
Well, then, you can just tell Tex that whether he helps me or not, Windy Wales is going to uphold the honor and tradition of the West. But now I got places to go, so get up, Mabel.
Oh, I forgot my horse.
So long, fellas.
Oh, golly, Windy gets crazier by the day.
Sometimes I think he's as dumb as he looks. Yeah, but just the same, Bobby. If he gets into trouble, this may not end as a laughing matter. Maybe so we'd be smart to follow him into town, eh?
Yeah, you're right, Hicka. But, golly, what are we standing around for then? Let's get saddled and follow him.
Bobby, look.
Hey, Windy stopped in front of the general store. Oh, you signed Mabel to the engineer.
More better we stay here, Buddy Boy, for he not see us.
Yeah, but what's he up to? Who are those two men he's talking?
I don't know, Bobby. He looks like he knows them. And, hey, look. The three of them are going into that building next to the general store.
Hey, that's where that Butterball fella is staying.
Yeah, he and a couple of servants rented that house.
Oh, golly, then that means Windy is going through with his plan to teach him a lesson. But what do we do?
There's nothing we can do, Bobby. Nothing but wait out here and just hope the Windy isn't getting into any trouble in there.
Okay, Brooklyn. Make sure the servant is tied up like the other while I go let Wales in.
Okay, Zecconi, I still don't get this. Well, why let this Wales carriage in when you're figuring on crossing the Medea?
Ah, it's the easiest way to keep him out of trouble. Mm. Well, just bring him along so he don't get suspicious. Now, just you wait there while I let him in. Okay, Wales, come on in. Get everybody except Butterball himself tied up. He's still upstairs
asleep. Doggone, you fellas sure work fast. And you got them fellas tied up just like he was real crook.
Well, you want it to look real, don't you?
Sure, and we like to oblige, don't we, Decky?
Oh, fellas, I sure appreciate that.
Oh, think nothing of it, Wendy. Nothing at all.
Now, you remember the rest of the plan, don't you, fellas?
Yes, sure, Wales. We'll go up and give Butterball a scare, and then you'll come in and chase us out. Right?
Yes, sir. And is this ever going to be a joke on him?
Be a joke on somebody, all right.
Oh, wait, one other thing, Wales. Just to be sure that there ain't any accidents, you better take the shells out of your gun.
Oh, heck, fellas, I'd never shoot you.
Just the same, it's better to be on the safe side. Go on now, take the shells out of your gun.
Okay, if you say so. Yeah, I guess you are right. No sense taking chances.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, Brooklyn, you ready?
Ready as they'll ever be.
Okay, then let's go get that Buttergall.
Yes, sir. You go get him, and better. Don't forget to act real scared when I come up.
Yes, sir.
Doggone, I just can't wait for this. I just can't wait.
Now, see here. You can't do this to me.
We're doing it. Now, write out that check like we told you.
No. Keep away from me.
I think he needs some persuasion, Decker.
Yeah, but not here. We'll have to take him someplace outside of town where we won't be interrupted. Okay, Brooklyn, tie him up. We'll take him with us.
But you can't do this.
And gag him, too.
Yeah, right.
Now you keep away from me. Don't you dare try to put that thing in my mouth. Don't you...
There we are. That's better. But you better give me a hand with the tie-in, Decker, so we can get out of here.
Take your time. We got plenty of time.
All right, you barbers, get your hands up. That's more reefs for the sky. I got you covered.
Hey, you better leave a little slack in that rope on his legs, Brooklyn. Yeah, keep it tight enough to hobble him, but loose enough so we can walk him out of here.
Reach for it. I got you covered.
Hey, Dick, I know just what you mean.
Up with your hands, or I'll blast you to keep him calm. Hey. Oh, come on now, fellas. Put your hands up.
You figure out yet where we'll take him, Decker?
Fellas, please.
Well, there's a deserted shack just beyond a crossroads you ought to do. We'll haul him there till we take the shack, huh?
Pretty please with sugar on it?
Yeah, I guess that ought to do. There we are. That'll hold him.
Now, doggone, fellas, this ain't right. I got my guns aimed at you. You're supposed to put your hands up.
Brooklyn, can you hear something?
Now, fellas.
Yeah, I do. Seem to hear a noise.
Hands up.
You reckon we ought to do something about it?
I got you covered.
Yeah, I guess we should. Will you do the honors, Beckett?
Oh, glad to, Brooklyn.
Now, doggone it, fellas, this ain't the way we... I said this ain't the way we...
How do you like that? Get right on talking, even after he was knocked unconscious. No wonder they call him Windy, huh?
We'll talk for a while. Well, come on. Brooklyn! You standing there looking at whales?
I was just thinking, Decker. This is the way I always want to remember him. Lying there on the floor with his whip behind his ear. So quiet. So peaceful. That's our own little sleeping beauty.
Well, now, I'd be willing to wager that Windy wouldn't be sleeping so peacefully if he knew what this innocent scheme of his had led to. But even Windy is bound to wake up someday. And when he does, well, that is, just be sure to be listening as we return for the climax of today's very unusual adventure in just a moment. But now let's get back to the Bebop E-Riders and the climax of today's very unusual adventure, the Ghost Rider and our own Windy Whale.
Yep, that's me, folks. Unconscious as usual. You remember what happened, don't you? How I set out to make that butterball critter sorry for all them nasty remarks he'd made about the rest? Only then, before I knowed what happened, the two fellas I'd got to help me, Decker and Brooklyn, why'd they cross me, knocked me out, and set out with Butterball as their captain. Meanwhile...
More better you keep quiet, Bobby boy. Anyone see us here in shadows, they never could get suspicious.
You're right there. But, oh, golly, we've just got to find out what Windy's up. Do you think maybe we ought to just go ahead into the house?
I don't know, Bobby. I've been thinking about that myself, but I... Oh, look!
Hey, there's three fellas coming out of the house now.
Yeah, what would they be? Could be fellas you see with wind men before. A third man.
Oh, that third fellow looks like he's sick or something. They're practically having to drag him.
Just nothing, Bobby. He's tied.
Tied? Irish, are you sure?
Great day in the morning, Bobby. That butterball. The fellow that Windy was so mad at.
Oh, then this must be part of Windy's scheme.
Yeah, see. But where would man be?
Oh, golly, wherever he is, he's sure asking for trouble tying butterball up that way. So we've got to stop this before it goes too far. For Windy's liable to spend the rest of his life in jail.
The little boss and Irish and Harker rode off after Decker and Brooklyn and their captain. But what they didn't know was that I was still lying unconscious in the house. That's right, I was still out like a light from where Decker clumped me. And when it finally did come to
it... Oh, me. Did anyone see which way that elephant went? Hey,
what's that thing in front of my face?
This man's foot.
But how did it ever get way up here?
Oh, me, I got myself entangled.
There. That's better. All them hemp varmints had me tangled up like a pencil. Hey, but that reminds me. It's Becker in Brooklyn. They've taken Mr. Butterball with them. Well, they won't get far. No, sirree, not with two gun whales on their trail.
Hey,
Surrey Riders, old Winnie Wales is about to take a part in the game. And since I already knowed where they aimed to take Butterball, all I had to do was to get there. And that wasn't so easy. First, I tried the door to the room, only it was locked. So then I deducted me a quick deduction and made for the window. Ain't nobody can outthink old Winnie Wales. And I was right. Yes, sir. All I had to do was open the window, climb out, and let myself drop stealthily to the ground. Well, doggone it. We left that rain barrel there. Well, anyhow, I climbed out of the barrel, wrung myself out, and looked around. But I found I still wasn't free. No, sir, because I was in the courtyard behind the general store without any way out except through the clothes store itself. That didn't stop me. No, sir. I guess you've heard how them there fictional detectives can pick a lock. Well, I just walked up to the back door of the general store. And luckily, the door was unlocked, so I walked in. But then, Riders, right then was when an inspiration just up and kicked me right in the face. Yes, sir. I suddenly realized that them two varmints wasn't likely to take me serious even if I did catch up with them. You see, they don't know what a really tough hombre I am. So I decided to not let them know who I was. But how? Well, I'd wear a mask. So I just looked around for a hunk of cloth, seen one hanging from up in the loft, and give it a yank. Well, Riders, when I crawled out from the bags of flour and other stuff that had fallen on me, I was a mess. M-E-S, mess. Yes, sir, you see, I was all wet to begin with from that burn rain barrel. Then when a sack of flour popped open and poured all over me, well, Riders, that flour stuck to me and left me as white as a ghost. But did that daunt me? Did it? Well, frankly, it did. But then I says to myself, Whitney Wales, are you a man or a mouse? And after we debated the question a while, I finally said to heck with it, made myself a mask and put it on. Then went out through the front of the general store to get my horse stable and start after them. Okay, now, Mabel, honey, it's going to be up to you from now on. Don't you know me, Mabel? It's me, you're Wendy. No, Mabel, wait for me, don't run. Oh, me. I must look so horrible that I even scared poor Mabel off. Oh, well, I guess it ain't too fair to walk to that shack. All right, see, get it going. So I started off for that shack where Decker and Brooklyn had taken Mr. Butterball. But what I didn't know was that the little boss and Irish and Harker was there too. That's right, they'd followed Decker and the others and was hiding outside the shack trying to figure what to
do. Oh, gosh, I'll do something. We can't wait out here anymore.
Yeah, but what do we do about it? Those two are armed, we're not.
Well, one of us will have to go for help to the sheriff.
No, Buddy Boy. I cannot think that'd be wise. We call in sheriff, maybe so Windman get in trouble.
Well, but golly, we've just got to do something.
Good, it be.
Oh, Irish, what's wrong?
The saints preserve us. Bobby, look, coming up the road from town. It's a ghost.
A ghost? Oh, now, Irish.
Well, look for yourself. See?
Hey, there is something or someone coming toward the shack. And it does look like a ghost. Oh, this place is all white.
Well, Bobby Boy, if it not be ghost, then what it be? I can never see anything like it in all life.
I don't know, Mike. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's sure heading into trouble. Look, it's going straight toward that shack.
Right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. Come on, keep moving. And now just hope that Decker and Brooklyn don't recognize me. They might not scare them. Here goes.
Thanks for the stars!
Holy smokes, take a look. There at the door, what is that?
You there at the door, who are you?
Oh, you mean it's human?
Well, answer me.
I am the Ghost Rider.
Oh, now listen here.
No, stay where you are, I'll shoot.
Hey, now put them guns down, we ain't done nothing.
No, then who's that fella tied up to that chair?
Him? Oh, well, he just...
He is a poor, helpless citizen who you have captured. And I, the Ghost Rider, have come to rescue him.
He's just wacky.
The wacky is so dumb that he'll fall for it. Hey, you, Ghost Rider, who's that behind you?
Behind me? I don't see nobody.
Hey,
now that ain't fair. You tricked me. Now let go of my arm.
You trust me.
Hey, Buckland, don't you stand there. Help me.
I just can't believe it. A guy's dumb enough to pull that old trick. I can't believe it. I can't. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Zeke. Give me a chance to slug him.
Never mind. I'll do it.
Well, doggone, if that ain't something, I ducked and they knocked each other out. Well, now, Mr. Butterball, let me take that gag out of your mouth.
My good man, you saved my life.
Yes, Mr. Butterball, think not done it. That's all a day's work for us now, Western heroes. But here, I'll just cut these ropes off you. And now, do you think you can handle these varmints till the sheriff gets here?
Just leave it to me. But you aren't leaving, are you?
I'm afraid I gotta. You know how it is. A hero's work is never done. But one thing first. Are you convinced now that there are bad men and heroes in the modern West?
I certainly am. And I'm going to say so in every newspaper in the country. But tell me so that I can give you credit. Who are you?
Me? Why ain't you here to me? I'm that famous hero of the West, that helper of the helpless. I am the Ghost Rider. And that's what happened, Rider. The better ball, he turned them varmints over to the sheriff, and then he wrote a whole story for the papers about what a great place the West is, and particularly about that great hero, the Ghost Rider. But me... Well, I didn't dare let nobody know that I was the ghost after Texas Warning. You folks are the first ones I ever did tell. Except, I did try to tell the other riders once, but... You see, Irish was reading about the Ghost Rider, and also the entire good thing to claim in this newfound hero of the West.
No one has yet been able to learn his identity. Will it be? I'd sure like to know who this Ghost Rider really is.
Oh, jolly, yes. I wish now that we'd had a closer look at him that night at the shack.
Whoever he be, he must be a great man.
And what are you talking about, Mindy? Wouldn't you like to know who the Ghost Rider is?
Well, I don't see a do now.
Well, we do!
But that chump in the whole West would like to know, Wendy. Who is he? Who is the Ghost Rider?
Well, fellows, to tell the truth, I am
you, Wendy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no kidding.
You see how it is, Riders? Somehow folks just don't realize that I'm a hero.
Riders, this is Bonnie Benson of the B-Bar-B Riders.
Brought to you by...
Dentine. The gum with... breath-taking flavor.
And Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too.
And this is Cactus Carl Warren, along with Bobby Benson, Windy Wales and his Wild Tales, and Tex Fletcher, the singing cowboy. And here's Bobby.
Golden Samra, Bronco, Hot Scratch, Michael, Diamond, Bob, Simon, Rider of the BRB. From the plains of old Montana to the glowing Rio Grande, singing Rider of
gallop along, gallop along, gallop along, gallop along. We're the riders of the B-Barbie.
Woo! I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you, it protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you, Morgan Freeman and the Ad Council, for that FCC obligation. These coronavirus PSAs will probably go away here in the next month or so, hopefully. Anyway, to start off the show, we heard Bobby Benson and the B-Bar-B Riders. That was Don Knotts starring as Windy Wales in The Ghost Rider from the 28th of July, 1950. For the second half of the show, I'm going to feature a lady. I've played two of her most famous radio dramas on here, The Hitchhiker, and Sorry Wrong Number, but she dabbled in some comedy for the Columbia Workshop, Lucille Fletcher's Man with a One-Track Mind. This had an original air date of the 30th of June, 1940. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
The Columbia Workshop presents The Man with the One-Track Mind. Workshop listeners will recall the recent workshop comedy, My Client Curly, which proved so popular, it was given a repeat performance a few weeks later. The author of the original script of My Client Curly was Miss Lucille Fletcher, and tonight's play is a new comedy by the same author, The Man with the One-Track Mind. Have you ever longed to be a locomotive? If so, listen to the story of Herbert Thompson, registered pharmacist of Springdale, New York.
Herbert? Herbert? Herbert, what on earth are you doing?
Hello, Mary.
What are you doing?
Why, nothing, Mary, nothing. Just practicing my train imitations, that's
your
all.
Train imitations. A fine place to be practicing train imitations in the prescription room. Of all the idiotic, futile, ridiculous occupations, Oh, well, what's the use? Come on and have your supper while there's still a little heat left in it.
I'm sorry, Mary, but I can't.
What?
Well, not just this minute, anyway. You see, Mr. Dooley's coming in about half an hour.
Mr. Dooley? Who's he?
Oh, he's the fireman on the Empire State Express. But it's his day off tonight, and he's promised to stop by at 8:30 and listen to my train imitations. You know, I'm going to do them for the father's and son's dinners next Monday.
And make a fool of yourself again?
Make a fool of myself?
What do you suppose the father's and son's dinner is asking you to do your train imitations for? They're asking you so they can laugh at you.
Oh, Mary.
To see you crowing there, standing up in your toes and being the 20th century, with your face getting redder by the minute and your Adam's apple going up and down.
Well, what of it? No artist can do good work without a little effort. Anyway, I tell him beforehand not to look at me. It's a thing to listen to. If they'd had any imagination.
Imagination? It's you who haven't any imagination. If you had any, you'd know how funny you look.
No, trains are my hobby, Mary, that's all.
Your hobby? Why, they've become your whole life. You never think about the store anymore. You don't try to improve it. You don't fix it up.
Well, perhaps the reason I like trains so much is because they take my mind off this store. Have you ever sat in the store all day long, Mary? I don't mean just once in a while, but every day, year in and year out. I've been in this store for 25 years. Take a look at it. Isn't a very interesting place to spend one's life, is it? Maybe I'm tired of it. Maybe I don't care about it anymore. Maybe I just want to feel free.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Maybe I love trains because they're so different from myself. Well, look at a locomotive. It's big and powerful and always on the go. It's alive. It accomplishes things.
Harry Thompson, you're talking like a ninny.
I'd rather be a train than a man any time. Trains don't just sit and rot all their lives. They live. They don't have anything to chain them down. Don't you see what I mean, Mary? They're so free. They're like gods almost. They're colossal.
So that's what you've been thinking all these years. You felt chained down, have you? You felt chained to me.
No, I never felt exactly chained to you, but, you know, I kind of never wanted to settle down in this town. This drugstore was your idea. If I had my way, we'd have sold out long ago.
Yes, and gone to the poorhouse.
I wasn't cut out to be a druggist, Mary. I've hated it.
What would you rather have been, a hobo?
Sometimes I almost think that would have been better. Look, I'm almost 50 now, and where am I? Still sweeping out the store in the morning and winding up the clock at night and making banana splits with maraschino cherries. I've never been anywhere. So don't stop me, Mary. I told you trains were a hobby with me. I was wrong. They're a whole philosophy. You hear that? There she goes, the Wolverine, on time and bound for Chicago.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, Lord, think of her tearing through the night with her steam up on her wheels, driving the cloud of steam, swallowed up in a tunnel, then out across the open country, telegraph poles going by, towns flashing past. That's her whistle again. Whoo, 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 like this, like this, like this, like this, whoo, like this,
And so Herbert Thompson, who had envied trains all his life, became a locomotive.
It was a sudden transformation, swift, instantaneous. He was propelled forward through his little drugstore as though on the wings of a whirlwind. That was a solid glass counter toppling over. That was his wife, Mary, screaming, and she's fainted. But poor Herbert can't turn his head to see her, as his head has become perfectly rigid. Well, naturally, it's made of iron. He can't even glance back at her out of the corner of his eyes, because he has only one eye, right in the middle of his face. He's screaming in terror as he tears down Main Street. But his scream has turned to the hoarse cry of a locomotive. He's just passed Bowman's department store. He's ripped off the whole plate glass front, and he's covered with men's socks and ladies' underwear and all this week's bargain specials. Everywhere he's destroying. Fire hydrants, telephone poles, newsstands, baby carriages, delivery wagons, all strewn around as he goes by. He's turned the corner of Elm Street and knocked down Steve the Grease glance wagon. He's trying to slow down, but he only goes faster and faster. He's heading for the railroad tracks. It's instinct, and he's made it. He's on the tracks, and he's rolling, as smooth as a twig floating downstream, and he's rounding a bend. Herbert Thompson is a locomotive.
Oh, good gosh. Oh, golly. Where am I? Oh, boy. This is fun. If the fellas at the Grease could only see me now. Look at the steam and the smoke. Look at that station platform. Hello. Goodbye. Look at the funny bridge up ahead. Hello. Goodbye. Hello. Green light. I mean, goodbye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here's a tunnel. Whoopee. Whoopee.
Hey, you. Get off the track.
Oh, good gosh. What's that? Can that be another train? Gosh. Sounds like the 20th century. Holy mackerel. He must be coming up behind me.
Come on, out of my way. Swipe clear the road. I'm in a hurry.
Okay, sir, okay. My, he's gaining on me. He'll run me down if I can't do something. Okay, mister, I'm hurrying.
Come on, step on it, then. I got no time to waste. I'm doing Albany in 5 minutes.
In Albany? Oh, dear. I can feel his hot breath right from my back. Oh, oh dear, he's kicked me in the tender. What's that ahead? A siding. If I live and breathe, thank heaven. Oh, ouch! Kick me again. Yes, sir. Just 1 minute, sir. I'll be off your track right away. Just a second.
What's you doing out in the first place? I got a good mind to take your number. What's your number anyway?
My number? You mean my social security number? Oh, dear, dear. I really can't remember it, sir, but the name is Thompson. Herbert Thompson.
Herbert Thompson.
Oh, I've made the siding. Oh, oh, my, what a violent sort of personality. I don't believe it would have run me down if I hadn't stepped on it. Ouch, my tender's killing me. I wish I had some liniment. I wonder what trains do when cases like this. Good gosh, who's this now? A freight train half a mile long and coming right toward me.
What you doing on this here track?
I beg your pardon, but the 20th century...
This here is my private side, and it's all been taken care of by the B&O. That I'm to have the use of it from 7 in the evening till 2 o'clock in the morning. So go on now. You trespassing the intercessor, you. Get going.
I'm sorry, but I... Well, frankly, sir, I don't know how to back up.
What do you mean you can't back up? You trying to make fun of poor old Uncle Boxcar when he's got so much misery in his pistons and so many burdens hanging on behind? Back up now. I'm going to report you to the roundhouse.
Oh, please, just a minute. I'm not trying to make fun of you. Honest. You see, I couldn't help myself. I was going along that main track to Albany back there, minding my own business, when all of a sudden the 20th century came by and pushed me off the road. Really? But I didn't know this was your track. Honest, I didn't.
Nobody knows anything as Uncle Boxcar's. He got to get along as best as he can.
Come on, Uncle Boxcar. Let's get going.
What you stopping for? Let's get on.
Let's get along to our destination.
Hear them back there screaming and whining? Them's old Uncle Boxcar's burdens, bless them.
Come on, Uncle Boxcar. We're in a hurry.
Let's get started, huh?
Shut your mouth. Them's the burdens poor Uncle Boxcar's got on his mind day and night. Always a-worrying him and a-fretting to keep moving. One of them, Lettuce, third from the back, she's back there in the refrigeration car.
Yeah, Uncle, I'm here.
She's always howling that she's gwine spile. And there's Bee. She's complaining all the time about the curves in the roadbed. Behind her is automobiles. She's always in a hurry, she is.
I is, too. There's no fooling about that.
Oh, he ain't had 1 minute's rest in all his life, he ain't. He ain't never known one day he could sit down in his own shed with his own old woman and his children. Uncle Boxcar ain't seen one of his poor little children since they was knee-high to a handcar. My boy Sleepy, he's a pullman now on the Santa Fe. Got a fancy name, too. George Washington Woodrow Wilson Crotona Park. My little gal dining now, she's a classy dining car in New York Central. I'm sure proud of my children.
Well, what about your wife? She must be proud of them, too.
She's dead, young man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Boiler trouble. She blowed up there 15 miles outside of Memphis. She had it for years, poor old woman. I used to say to her, "Class, honey, why come you don't retire?" "No, sir," she said to me, shaking her poor old cow catcher. "No, I couldn't ever do no such thing as that. 'Twouldn't be fair to the company folks. I's got a big responsibility. Duty. Duty, that's all she ever lived for."
She must have been a wonderful woman, but of course I would never marry a locomotive. I want to be free.
How long you been out at the factory, young man?
The factory?
That's what I said. Only a locomotive that wasn't dry behind the pistons would talk like that. Free? Why, man, we is the most subjugated race in the world. Look at them burdens back there.
Yes, I know. You're pretty tied down, but the average train...
All of them's got to carry something, don't they? If it ain't burdens, it's passengers. Now, what good's a locomotive anyhow if it ain't pulling something?
Uncle Boxcar, quit talking, for goodness sake.
We's due in California in 2 weeks.
Okay, I'm starting right now. Quiet back there, girls, quiet. As I was saying, young man.
Uncle Boxcar, we'll spy. If you don't get us to our destination on time, and if we spies, we'll report you to the roundhouse. It'll be your fault.
Laws of mercy. Well, gotta be on my way. Goodbye, sonny. Goodbye, so long. Come on, bud, use the wine. Look up, look down.
Poor old man. Not getting much fun out of life. Oh, well. Who's that tearing down the track?
I say, look out, please.
Excuse me, I was just trying to get off this siding. It doesn't seem to be a free track in this whole system. I'll be out of your way directly, sir, just as soon as I get out onto this parallel track.
Oh, really? Well, do hurry. I'm frightfully late. Have to make the World's Fair by tea time. Reception committee and all that sort of thing.
Sir. Yes, sir. Say, I hope you won't mind my saying so, but... haven't I seen you somewhere before?
The name's Scott. Coronation Scott. Fastest to look special in the British Empire.
Say, I've read about you for years.
Have you? How frightfully dull. Is the track ready, please?
All ready, Your Majesty. Although I'm afraid I've left it a little greasy.
No matter. Nothing could make these American tracks any worse than they are. Are you coming my way?
Well, would you mind?
It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference.
Well, then I guess I will. Oh, golly. If Mr. Dooley could only see me now. Oh, this is class. You were saying something about American tracks, Your Majesty. How terrible they are, Your Majesty.
Oh, please don't call me Your Majesty. It annoys me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here I'd come over to America thinking I should escape the whole deadly business. And what do I find? The moment I arrive, the same tiresome thing starts all over again. Porters sweeping me out every 10 miles. Red carpets at every station. And champagne bottles, endless champagne bottles, being broken continually over my nose.
It sort of sounds like fun in a way, Your Grace.
Fun? How would you like to be stoked, polished, dry-cleaned, repainted, upholstered, dusted, vacuumed, and lubricated every other day? And the horrid populace, tramping through you incessantly day and night, shedding peanut shells, chewing gum wrappers, orange peel all up and down your innards. It's enough to give a man high boiler pressure.
Oh, dear.
And look at the roadbed they give me to travel on. Of all the horrid proletarian means of transportation. Oh, why, in England, a train is somebody. Here, most of you chaps are nothing but open-air subways. That 20th century fellow, for example.
You've met the 20th century?
Unfortunately, yes. And a greater boor it's never been my privilege to meet. Of course, I suppose one shouldn't expect much from a person who comes from Chicago with all those gangsters and Indians living out there. But really, Do you know what he had the nerve to tell me not long ago? That his deluxe drawing rooms were far superior to mine.
Really?
Why, the king himself christened my drawing rooms with a bottle of old Malmsey. The very same Malmsey that Richard III drowned his brother in. Ah, but here we are at the World's Fair. Just slow down and follow me into the railroad building.
I was here last year when it opened with my wife, Mary.
You have a wife?
Yes, sir.
Well, how very odd. English trains are celibate. Dreadful bore. Oh, dear me. I say, aren't you coming along?
I don't know whether there'll be enough tracks to go round.
Oh, don't be tiresome. Of course there are. I'll introduce you around.
You mean I'll meet all the famous trains?
Of course, if you care for that sort of thing. There, sit down and lower your boiler pressure. I'll have the fireman bring us some tea directly. Do you like yours with pea coal or stove coal? Oh, dear me. Look the other way quickly. Here comes the chief.
Oh! Big Chief Santa Fe, Greek coronation Scott. Him welcome in land of sky blue water.
It's all an affectation with him, old boy. He speaks as good English as you do. Does it all for publicity. I beg your pardon. I'm afraid we haven't met.
Big Chief met Coronation Scott Chicago Fair, 1934.
I'm afraid I don't recall either the cowcatcher or the name. Big Chief. You're not by any chance Indian, are you?
Big Chief, much Indian. Him from far west. Him make Santa Fe run. New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, California, Painted Desert, Albuquerque.
Oh, how very odd. I had no idea there were any trains west of Chicago.
You want smoke, peace, stack?
Thanks, but I simply loathe American fuel.
So you're still at it, huh, pal? Still at it.
Really, of all the... Oh, it's you, 20th century. I thought you were in Chicago.
Sure, I was in Chicago yesterday. But today I'm in New York. This ain't England, you know, pal. We cover territory. 2,000 miles in the flick of a piston. We ain't midgets over here, we're trains. What you doing to my pal, the chief?
Really, 20th century, you're impossible.
Oh, belittling him again because he can't speak the English language, is that it? Okay, but if some people I know could speak it as good. So you don't like American fuel, huh? So there ain't nothing but covered wagons outside of Chicago. Well, why don't you learn something instead of sitting over there on your island being a commuter special?
If you're mean to insinuate, 20th century, that I do the work of an underground...
Go away, you make me tired. You and all them foreigners is all alike. Why don't you get on to yourselves for a change? In 10 years, you and me and all of us won't be needed anyway.
Oh, please, for goodness sake, now, don't let's start talking about aeroplanes. I'm sick of the whole discussion.
I ain't discussing aeroplanes. They're only a bunch of mosquitoes. What I'm discussing right here and now is diesel, oil, electric trains. Now, in 10 years, I'm telling you, they're going to rule the tracks. I tell you, fellas, a guy's got to think these days. He's got to look ahead. Why, listen, only last night, coming back from Chicago, what do you think I heard? A couple of old dames was complaining because there wasn't no moving pictures on board. Why didn't they do something to entertain the passengers, they were saying? The boredom is terrific. The boredom. Can you beat it? 16 hours for 1,000 miles, and the boredom is terrific. A guy tears himself in half, keeping up speed. A guy tries to keep himself attractive. A guy lays out the red carpet, installs a radio, subscribes to every magazine in creation, and the boredom is terrific. And moreover... Oh, just a second, pals.
Hiya, babe. Hello, long and handsome.
Why, it's the Broadway Limited, all painted up.
Say, when's you blow into town, honey? Gee, I'm glad to see you.
And am I glad to see you. I've been missing you in Chicago now for the last 5 weeks.
Oh, I couldn't help it, honey. I had a new engineer and he changed my schedule. They say, you met the fellas?
I don't think so, but I don't see why not.
Fellas, meet the girlfriend, Miss Broadway Limited.
Pleased to meet you.
Oh, I say, rather. My word, what a lovely tender.
Okay, fellas, okay, break it up. Now, break it up. What's on your mind, honey?
Nothing. Except I never see you anymore.
Oh, listen, honey, for goodness sakes, don't start that stuff again. You know it can't be helped. Who told you to join up with the Pennsylvania Railroad in the first place?
I don't see why you can't jump a track once in a while and take the route through Pittsburgh. Other fellas would do it for me.
Well, other fellas ain't me. And if that's the way you feel about it...
Oh, I don't, honey, I don't. Only I get so lonesome. All those miles and miles of telephone poles Another a call for me.
I can't do nothing about that. You know that, honey. You want your career, don't you? It was your idea being a deluxe flyer, not mine.
Yeah, I know. But honestly, sometimes I get so blue. And now, what with them fresh suburban locals?
Have them locals been bothering you again?
Something terrible. They won't let me alone. Every time I come into a new town, a whole bunch of them goes by and purposely brushes up against me and pinches my parlor car. It's driving me crazy.
Why those lousy mashes?
Aw, honey. That's one of the reasons I want you to come over to the Pennsylvania sometime. If those locals just took one look at you...
How many times have I got to tell you that I can't do it? You see what goes on all the time, fellas? It's breaking my heart. She's my girl, but when do I ever see her? I'm in Chicago, she's in New York. She's in Chicago, I'm in Albany. We can't get married. We can't settle down in a nice little roundhouse up at Harmon. We can't do nothing. What's our future?
Even the subways have a better time than we do. I knew a girl once. She was an electric on the IRT. And she married a fella on the BMT. They never had no trouble living together. They just settled down in the car barns at 14th Street.
Yeah?
Yeah. And they had a couple of kids on the Canarsie line. But the whole family got together on Sundays.
You know, you can say what you like. But them subways don't have such a bad time of it after all.
Bad time? At least they can depend on a regular clientele.
Gee, it'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? You do a couple of nice little quiet runs from Coney Island up to 42nd Street. Going no faster than about 10 miles an hour. Then along about 8 o'clock, you slide into the car barns, get washed up, and there would be your little wife. Just in from Queens Plaza, waiting with supper ready for you.
Gee.
Yeah, then on Sundays you'd loaf around while they changed the car cards and swept out the cigarette butts. Or maybe even play around the pinochle with the West End Local and the Sea Beach Express. Oh, boy, what a life.
Big Chief, he no like subway life. He wanna be horse.
Why, Chief, what an idea. Who'd have thunk it? I thought you were satisfied with the Santa Fe.
Santa Fe, all right, but horse, better. Horse, he no stick to track. He climb mountain. He make own trail up Mesa. He look at sunset. He stop where he like. Beside river, little village, on prairie.
Stop it, Chief. I can't stand it.
Well, you're all quite wrong. If you're going to change places, why not be men?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Your Majesty. I mean, Mr. Scott.
A man's a poor thing, of course, but at least he's flexible. He can lie down once in a while. I'm so tired of rigidity.
But, Mr. Scott...
And a man has a varied diet. He doesn't have to eat coal all the time. Aren't you gentlemen frankly bored to death with coal?
But, Mr. Scott, that's the least...
Oh, please, please, I'm talking. And at least a man gets a vacation once in a while we poor trains...
Curtain going up in 5 minutes.
What's that?
Oh, dear. It's our cue for the railroads on parade show. Quick, where's my engineer?
Come on, beautiful, we gotta get going.
Gee, I need a touch of fresh paint. Where's my spray gun?
Here, do I look streamlined enough? You're coming, of course.
Why, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I'm planning...
Oh, but you must come. Here, I'll find you an engineer. He'll take you on in.
No, thanks. I don't want an engineer. I'm going to California. I'm going there all by myself. All alone.
But good heavens, man, you can't go to California without an engineer. You can't even get out of the fair without an engineer. Here, take mine.
Curtain going up in 3 minutes. Last call for railroads on parade.
I've got to go, but wait for me. He's backing up. My good fellow, come back, you'll be ruined. Wait a minute. Wait till I find you an engineer. Oh, good.
Make way, make way. I'm going to California, California. California, here I come. California, here I...
Look out, one of the locomotives is broken loose.
Help, somebody throw the switch.
The engine's going wild.
Jump in the subway train.
Help, runaway train. Help,
help, help, help, help, help me, help me. Make way, everybody, make way.
This is trainman number 18. Be on the lookout for a runaway locomotive, just torn loose from the railroad exhibit at the World's Fair. It is now believed to be on the New York Central tracks, heading north toward Albany. No engineer is in the cab. The number of this locomotive is unknown, but it can be identified by its high-pitched whistle.
Whoopee!
up! Yahoo, everybody, yahoo! I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day. California, here I come. Whoopee, whoopee, whoopee!
Wild locomotive without engineering cab still heading north toward Albany. Believe now to be somewhere in the neighborhood of Peekskill. Be on the lookout for a wild locomotive. Stop this locomotive with any obstacle.
Okay, and put this telephone pole here. This one over there. That'll derail it, all right. And keep clear when it comes around the bend, men. Keep clear.
Gee, Mr. Dooley, it's going to be some crash when it hits this, huh?
You're right, Zeke. It'll be some crash. Look out, here she comes.
Whoopee! Whoop! Trap. Trying to derail me, eh? Fine thing, trying to derail a nice little locomotive like me. Okay, boys, I'm on to you. I know what to do. Here's a nice little siding going off to the left. I've always liked sidings, always wanted to explore them. Well, I'll pull them all. That California trip can wait for a minute. I'll just twist myself a little like this and whoopee, whoopee, here I go! Down the nice little siding. So long, fellas. Sorry to have disappointed you. Got a nice little siding. What's that ahead? A stone quarry? A what? Help! Help! I can't stop! Oh, dear! I never should! I can't!
Herbert! Herbert! Oh, where on earth are you? Oh, goodness, how you frightened me.
Mary, Where am I?
How on earth did you ever manage to fall asleep down behind that counter? My goodness, do you realize what time it is?
No, is it still night?
Night? It's almost morning, Herbert, and you still haven't closed up the store. Oh, I've been worried sick about you. I've been down to the railroad station and everything.
Mary, I've had the strangest dream. I've been dreaming about...
I shouldn't be surprised if you did have a strange sort of dream, sleeping like that at the back of the counter. And what with all the excitement going on this evening...
What excitement? What is it you're talking about?
Herbert, there's been a most terrible wreck down near the Springdale station.
Wreck?
Well, it seems as if one of the locomotives out of the World's Fair went wild this evening and ran all over creation.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
It was heading north toward Albany. Nobody could stop it. It seemed it didn't have an engineer on board.
Oh, mercy me.
So Mr. Dooley got a gang of men, and they got together a couple of telephone poles. And what did they do but roll them out over the tracks just down below Springdale station, just where the little siding turns off to go to the old stone quarry.
The stone quarry? Will you pass me that bottle of spirits of ammonia?
Surely, here. Fine, but you are white. Well, what did that train do when it came near those telephone poles but jump the track and leap off into the siding right near to where Mr. Dooley was standing? And the funniest part of it was that nobody was hurt.
But if the locomotive crashed...
It did crash. That's what nobody can understand.
Mary, where's my coat?
Oh, where on earth are you going now?
I'm going down to see that locomotive. I've got to.
Herbert Thompson, you come right back here.
Mary, you don't understand. I've got to see that locomotive.
Well, you could go there in the morning. Besides, you won't see any locomotive there anyway.
No locomotive, you mean? They've already cleared it away.
Well, so it seems. There wasn't any locomotive there at all. Nothing but a lot of broken medicine bottles. Thousands of them all lying on the ground. Wasn't that crazy?
Crazy? Oh, gosh. Oh, crazy is right.
We heard the Columbia Workshop's treatment of Man with a One-Track Mind, written by Lucille Fletcher. That was originally aired on the 30th of June, 1940. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This show was pre-recorded. Thanks for listening.